You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Join our regular team and maybe a few special guests as they give you the lowdown on movies, TV shows, games, or just whatever they want to talk about. It's the best of geek from week to week, live on Twitch and direct in your ears via the podcast.
You want to know what makes a hero? It's not destiny. It's not something you're born with. It's searching for greatness.
Johnny Cage, you have been chosen for more to come back.
Then realizing you've had it in you this entire time.
Whoa! I really don't feel comfortable hitting a girl.
Don't worry. You won't.
Yo! Send me back. I want to go back.
The rules of the tournament are simple. Our fates would not be settled by the size of our armies. They would be decided by combat.
I'm not some great warrior. I'm not some champion.
This is a war for the fate of your world.
Finish him!
Me.
Earth belongs to me.
We do not kneel!
Our only chance is to face this together.
Let's go, baby.
Johnny Cage, are a part of this now. It's showtime.
Get over here!
Johnny would definitely die.
Hello,
round
finally.
One.
Round five.
Round something.
Round six. Hello.
Fight.
Yes, well, after that little bit, like, what in the name of whatever is holy is going on here? I blame you, Quinny.
I blame me too. In fact, I mean, look, I'm trying to bring my A game to this. I even wore my special hat and everything.
Oh, all right. I thought, is that because you're part of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
No. This is my cool weapon hat that I pull off and have amazing fights with.
Exactly. If you pulled that hat off, I would definitely get in a fight with you.
Yeah. my fighter name is Cole Ander.
Cole Ander. Fuck. You've been holding that one, haven't you, for a few years?
Cole Ander.
Oh, dear.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome.
Yes.
I am wearing a colander on my head. Dion is not.
Sure. No, I didn't get this joke or this part at all.
Oh, come on. Oh, you know, yes, it does spin. It's not well, but...
it does spin. It does spin. Had you let me in on this, I would have worn my colander too.
No, but I just wanted you to wear sunglasses so you can be jaded Johnny Cage.
Oh, hang on.
Go on. I know that you've got them just off screen.
There we go. Wait one
there
second.
Now, how do you put them on? There you go.
Yeah. I'm trying not to get the reflection of the lights. It's fine. It's fine.
Right,
I'm not doing this.
Go.
Fuck Johnny Cage. He's a useless character.
Hey, he's got a cool uppercut and a cool slidey kick.
He just punches people in the dick.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, no, he's got two uppercuts. He's got like a cool upper, like, right. Anyway, hi, welcome to the show. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about Mortal Kombat 2. That's right.
We are talking about Mortal Kombat 2. And tonight, welcome back, Quinny. You've been away for a little while. You've been doing some weird shit.
Yep. I've been attempting to avoid my own level of fatality and have had people digging around in my guts and doing cool stuff, and
fantastic.
Now I've got the scars to show for it. So yeah,
excellent. So you had your own Mortal Kombat Kind of adventure, didn't you?
I did. Yes.
You got sliced up, you got a bit of gore.
Yeah, look, man, if there's one thing that I know about the Mortal Kombat movies and TV shows and games and everything, is that the recovery time is entirely unrealistic. Like, I've been just sliced up the middle a little bit, and I'm like, I need 2 weeks to just take a break.
Fair enough.
Not going to move too fast. Don't want to bend forward too much.
No.
Meanwhile, these people are getting their entire skulls fucking smashed in.
Yeah.
And just, like, just shake it off.
Just brush that one off then, shall you?
Yeah. Good for you.
That's good. And tonight, our special guest host is Mr. Toasty.
Toasty!
There you go. Hello down there.
Good old Dan Forden.
And we're talking about friendship. Yes, I mean, it's not Ed Boon, as many people get wrong sometimes.
Damn straight. Dan Forden being the audio designer for Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, yeah.
I love all of those random things about, like, the history of Mortal Kombat, like the Toasty guy and, you know, dumb shit like Noob Saibot and all that kind of stuff.
Yes. Because, I mean, like, Mortal Kombat as a franchise has been around for how long now?
31 and a bit years, I think. I don't know. It came out in 1994, if memory serves.
1992.
Jesus Christ.
You might have got it in, well, actually, no, that is true, because I remember distinctly playing it when I was in a grade that I'm not going to mention to show my age.
Right. Hang on. So how did you first play it? What was your first experience of Mortal Kombat? And I know we probably had this conversation on the last Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, and we've already diverged. This is great. We're already diverged. But let me set the scene for you, Quinny. I was a young man and
Sicily, 1993.
I was in the bustling metropolis that was Brisbane City in the state of Queensland. And of course, being a young and up and coming, you know, gent around the time, I was very popular.
A gadabout town.
I would frequent all of the most fun and cool places that everyone hung out with, which was the inner city laser tag arena.
Oh my God. Yep.
So I would frequent the inner city laser tag arena all of those cool, where all the cool kids kind of hung out. And they were very, very nice people. I do remember them. Played a lot of laser tag. But in the foyer, in the reception area of the laser tag place, they had two arcade machines. And one of them was Mortal Kombat.
What was the other?
Don't know, never played it. Only focused very, very strongly on the fact that Mortal Kombat was there. Because you could do fatalities where you rip someone's head off.
Yep. See, I'm similar to you, though in later years I hung out around a laser tag place in Devonport in Tasmania. There was the one arcade.
Oh, just as exciting. Just a bustling metropolis.
Oh, the bustling metropolis of Devonport. There was one arcade, and I do remember very clearly one night being harassed by a bunch of street youths. And they wanted to fight me on Street Fighter, Street Fighter 2, which was very popular.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, and then they decided that I was a dickhead and I needed to be beaten up. So I asked the guy, the thing is like, do you have a back door? Could I just fuck off out the back? He's like, yeah. But before I did, I saw my first thing of Mortal Kombat. And I was like, sweet, I'm avoiding some Mortal Kombat and playing some other Mortal Kombat.
So did you play? So were you being, in fear of your life, did you actually decide to stop and pause and be like, actually, one quick game before
I had all my comic books that I'd bought that day, like a fucking nerd.
Right,
and,
okay.
And
jeez.
These guys had come around. They were being dicks while I was trying to play Street Fighter and mouthing off. And then they fucked off outside and I could see they were waiting for me to go outside.
Right.
So in my desire to not go outside and still having another 20-cent piece in my pocket.
Nice.
I dropped that motherfucker into Mortal Kombat and was like, yeah, I know how to fight. Can you let me out the back, please?
Well, I'm really good at beating up these sprites. Those guys outside hit back and I don't
they would probably also try and rip my head off and pull my heart out and, but, you know, all that kind of stuff. So
did you get away?
I did. I went out the back door, went through a different alleyway, and then ran away. Because I'm a big, girly man.
And then return. No, no. Look, you know, that's smart business there, Quinny. Just remember, if you look like you're going to get into a fight and you don't want to get one, just run away and then go and get in your car and run them over.
Fatality.
Fatality.
Rude fatality. Less fun.
Yeah. Rude fatality.
15 rude fatalities this year.
Oh. Unexplained fatality.
But I loved Mortal Kombat, but I love Mortal Kombat 2 a lot more.
Oh.
I don't know where you're at with that, but I personally, I thought Mortal Kombat 2, the game, was a better game than Mortal Kombat 1.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they certainly had made it slightly better. That's okay. But my personal favorite is Mortal Kombat 3.
Oh.
Because
Ultimate
why?
Or just normal?
Just normal. Just normal straight away, because Ultimate didn't come out until a while later. But what did Mortal Kombat 3 have that 1 and 2 didn't?
Striker?
Not a character. It was a game mechanic.
Oh, the run mechanic.
The run mechanic.
You would love the run fucking mechanic, wouldn't you?
I fucking love the run mechanic. I was such a dick.
I hate the run mechanic of my heart.
Run to one side, grab them, throw them back the other way. Run to the other side, grab them, throw them back the other way.
I hate it so much.
And also, if you were playing someone like Sekiro, where you just drop down and punch them back up again. that was a real dick.
we've got historical, you know, love of the Mortal Kombat. Like, I don't know, were you around when we reviewed the first 2021 Mortal Kombat?
Yeah. What are you talking about? Good,
right.
When we went back,
I couldn't remember.
Show 241.
Jesus Christ.
And then show 242 was something.
The Mortal Kombat Roundup?
No, the other two. The 1996 and
95 and 97, I believe.
95 and 97. But yes, that's when we did that. Because it was in 2021. And now 5 years later, we get Mortal Kombat Adieu.
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 You know, I think they learnt a lot from that first film. I rewatched the 2021 Mortal Kombat ahead
did you?
Watching this. Yeah, I did.
Interesting. Interesting.
I thought, you know, remind me, why did I feel the way I felt? Like, because I didn't mind the 2021 Mortal Kombat. And then I watched it again and I was like, oh, you can see every cent they weren't spending.
Yeah, like, I mean, let's be honest. There were flaws.
Yeah. I didn't realize until watching this film how much that first film didn't do in terms of, like, building the world of, you know, the locations, the idea of Mortal Kombat. Like, you know, in that first film, the big reveal of you know, one of your big set pieces of all Mortal Kombat, Prince Goro of the Shokan, comes out of a woodshed in Adelaide. Like,
dude,
that's, you know, perhaps not quite where we're at as a Mortal Kombat kind of thing.
Well, look, I mean, we reviewed it back in 2021. My God, so many years ago. And we gave it 69. Nice. yes, we did. It equaled out that way. And you know, we had some good things to say, and we had some negative things to say.
Yeah.
But overall, it was a pretty good addition to the franchise. There's
Josh
still
Lawson, you know.
Yeah.
Threw a shoulder out carrying the entire film.
Yeah, his back has been crippled, so I mean that's probably why he's been in recovery so long.
No, Adsky's like saying, I'm surprised you weren't an extra in it, Quinny. Adsky, if I could have been, I would have been. I was doing every fucking thing in my power to get down to Adelaide, or in this case, I would have gone up to Queensland. And in fact, I know somebody who is an extra in this film, and in fact, you just saw him in the trailer. He is the big dude who walks in front of Johnny Cage at the Comic-Con. That's literally his whole thing. First shot of the trailer, there's Matt Nesbitt. Fucking go, Matt.
I mean, you know, hilarious. Look, you know, if you could have been in it though, you would have jumped at the chance, wouldn't you?
I would have jumped a couple of times and then done a couple of spin kicks and then I'd try and work out how to jump forward.
And they would have gone jump backwards and then jump forwards and then been like, you know, punched.
Yeah,
someone would have held a fist up in the air and you'd all just rammed into it.
Yeah. And then they wouldn't have cast me. Look, I would have jumped at the fucking chance, but as it is, who knows? Maybe, I mean, judging by how well this one's done financially, we're getting a 3, so.
Well, let's hold off there before we get too far down the rabbit hole.
Okay. Hey, I'm not, I didn't say anything about quality. I just said about bank.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Now, long quest. Like last week, very lovely, very wonderfully, Jill did attempt the shit accent for the synopsis for Darth Maul Shadow Lord. I'm opening this one up. Now we've got you back with your full complement of vocal abilities. Of shit accents. I'm just trying to think what kind of accent, who can we pull off this one?
We want to avoid anything that sounds like, you know, racistly Japanese or, you know.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask you to do a Quan Chi or a Shang Tsung, even though you're called Quin Chi.
No, I'm okay with Quan Chi because he's not actually meant to be like Asian in any way, shape or form, even though his name looks like it. You know, remember he's Voldemort's testicle.
Sure. Okay. yes. Okay. No, Johnny Cage. Johnny Cage is too easy.
Johnny Cage is way too easy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to do, sorry. I'd like to do my best Musetta Vanda from Mortal Kombat Annihilation. So Musetta Vanda played Sindel from
You Will Be Next.
Exactly.
Oh, no, You Will Die. I can't remember Be Next?
Don't worry. Too bad. You will die.
Yeah. Hey, Sindel's back in this one too, by the way.
Yes, she is. And I was disappointed they didn't give her that line because that is like an epically terrible line.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you want? Do you want...
Have we got any votes? We've only got one in there, which is just your best Johnny Cage. Come on. That's just New Zealand.
Do you want Carl Urban's Johnny Cage? Yeah, or is it like the twinges of
Well, he's... I mean, you know, just... Actually, do it like you're just phoning it into your agent because it's kind of what Carl was doing.
Okay.
Wait one second. I got to see if I've got any music. Hang on.
All right, okay.
There we go.
Okay. Right. Johnny Cage auditioning for new Mortal Kombat trailer. Johnny Cage, 6'3", born in 1970. Anyway. Right. Johnny Cage joins other fighters in the... Sorry, I'll do it again. It's showtime. Johnny Cage joins other fighters in the ultimate no-holds-barred battle to defeat the dark rule of Shao Kahn, a powerful tyrant who threatens the very existence of the Netherrealm and its defenders of the realm. The animated series that people forget about a lot. Mortal Kombat Conquest, the live action TV series that people forget. No. Yeah, there we go. Finish him announcer. Oh my god. Okay.
Yeah.
Johnny Cage joined other fight. No, too deep. Can't do it. Sorry.
No, that didn't sound very
toasty
to me.
Right.
Yeah, I've got that. Yes.
Look, anytime you want to throw that one in there, I'm fine with it.
Sure.
In fact, I'm pretty sure if they'd done that in the film, you would be giving it more points, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I'd be down. I would have been down for a little bit of fun in there. I mean, not that they didn't have fun. They look like they were having fun. They look like they had a little bit more fun than the first one. I feel like in the first one, like in the 2021 one, let's be honest, because 1995 will hold a special place in my heart forever, and you can't take that from me.
No.
But at least in this one, I felt like the cast seemed to, like, well, this is a bit of a thing. I think some of the cast were very comfortable about where they were going and were like, oh, this is going to be fun. And other parts of the cast were very much like, I guess I fucking signed the contract. I'm
so
definitely,
which ones do you feel like with that? I guess I've signed the contract.
I'm definitely here to make up what my contract stipulated. Does that make sense?
I'm guessing you're talking about Scorpion in there, but you know.
Okay, that's kind of one of the worst offenders, but still done quite well comparatively.
Yeah.
In this one, look, you know, your worst offenders are probably your Johnny Cage, your Cole Youngs, your Jaxes,
I thought that they were giving it a bit of okay. Like,
Sonya Blades. Your Joe Talzins.
Sonya was doing fine. She was acting. She was just doing a thing. Like, yes, Josh Lawson is still, like, holding up
crippled
much
again.
The whole film.
Crippled again after this film. but not enough. I mean, he wasn't structural in this one, which is one of the things that annoyed me. The thing out of it is that they kind of went, so there's this one from the first film, and everyone loved him, and he basically tied most of the film together. We're definitely going to get him back, but he's also not structural. Like, he's not a load-bearing Kano in this one.
Yeah. And I will admit, like, the load-bearing structures in this one, like, are not ones that I would ever have picked. Like, from knowing the history of Mortal Kombat and all of the games and all of the fucking books and magazines and comics and stuff, I don't think I ever would have gone, you know who I think the lead characters need to be?
Yep.
Johnny Cage and Katana.
But I mean, in this one, it's even more interesting because I feel like Katana and Jade were given like a different direction to a bunch of other people who were given another direction. And then it just felt like they were having different conversations during the production. It's like, by the way, this is your film.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think structurally, it's interesting because it is a dual narrative. It's like following literally two hero characters, which you see. The thing is, Dion and I may have to put my hat back on because the thing is, Dion and I may come to blows over this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like I had a very different experience with Mortal Kombat 2 than Quinny had. And
I think you must have.
We have not talked about this since we saw the film. So this is our first opportunity. And also, you've been away. I haven't seen you. You know, like, you've been doing things. So I feel like this could be tense. This could be a little tense.
It could be, because I'm also, like, I'm not protective of it, but I'm going to put my cards on the table and say I did enjoy it. Right. Like, I'm not going to say that there are things that aren't perfect, like, because this is still a long way away from a flawless victory. Like,
oh my God,
is getting bloody left, right, and center.
I don't know. I'm calling this one a bit of a babality.
Oh.
or a little bit like friendship. Friendship? Again? <It's> like,
I don't know. Like, I personally, we're going to have an interesting score, that's for sure. Yeah.
I feel like if I was to give a different Mortal Kombat reference, I was like, this was a test your might situation. And I mean, they got close, but I don't think they broke through.
Whereas I personally think they've actually done exactly what they set out to do, which was make a fun, like a popcorn American summer flick.
Right.
That had all of the kind of things that you wanted. It had big special effects. It had fights. It had comedy. It had
have a sky beam though.
Didn't have a did.
Where was the giant sky beam?
You fucking hate a sky beam.
I know. That's the only thing that helped it. Is there was no
didn't
giant
have a
sky beam.
Oh, look,
even Mortal Kombat 3, the game, or the Ultimate, had a fucking sky beam. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean, if they're going to do that, like...
But then they're not. They're doing the plot from Mortal Kombat 2. Like, this is, like, if anything, we're in the bit between Mortal Kombat 1 and 2, where they're going to Outworld, they're fighting and they're doing all that shit. We haven't hit the Mortal Kombat 3 plot line where they invade Earth. So, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, finally.
What were your biggest problems? Because I will then try and block them each.
Sure. Let's have the discussion about this. I want to go out on a limb. Well, not on a limb, but I want to go out first and say, hey, it's actually an amazing production. And congratulations to all of the crew and people who worked on it. Because yes. I got to say, it is definitely a bit of a jump up from the Mortal Kombat 2021. Because, like, some of the set pieces, some of the designs, some of the feel of trying to make Outworld a different, like a better place. Is it? Wait, is it still Outworld? Is that where they are on at the moment? Okay, just trying to remember.
They are in Edenia that has been taken over by Outworld.
Right, they're in Edenia. Okay, cool. Just checking.
Yeah.
But like, look, Shao Kahn is amazing. I think in this one is a great Shao Kahn.
Yeah, which is amazing because he's in the first film.
Yeah.
Like, as General Reiko, and like, he's not good in that first film.
No.
Well, but this,
yeah.
Martin is fucking terrifying. Like, he's a beast of a character.
Yeah. Like, it's good. I mean, I don't know if it was actually Shao Kahn in the first one. It was just someone who looked that was big.
No. He plays a character called General Reiko.
Oh, right. Okay.
Who then gets killed spectacularly in one of the only sequences in the first one that's in a recognizable set from the game.
Yeah.
And like the pit.
Yeah. And like they return to like some of the sets and fight places that they did that they lifted from the game. Amazing. It looked amazing. It was really beautiful. Some of the fight choreography is quite good. Some of the fight choreography is quite bad. But that's
nothing in comparison to Sonya and Kano in the first film.
Which one? 1995 or
1995?
I mean, hey, but they did their own stunts. So you gotta that's because Sonya wanted to do her own stunts.
With dysentery.
Yeah, yeah. Well, didn't we all? Yeah. But like, I think I had a lot of problems with. Well, not structurally. I had problems with following what we were supposed to do because it kind of tried to remove all the mistakes of the first one. I felt like they kind of took that brief and they were like, oh, people didn't like these bits. So like, how do we make that fixed?
How do we get rid of that?
Mm. Yeah, kind
how
of.
Do we never mention the word Arcana ever again?
Yeah.
How do we get rid of the stupid tattoos?
They've gone more into it, but I mean, you know, they put back, I don't know, fucking, you know, skylights again. You know, it's like, which round is it this time? Oh, we just teleport to where the fighting starts. All right, we don't have to go anywhere. Fantastic.
I like that they're just like, you know what? This is that video game element of like, okay, I'm starting a new location.
Yeah.
Random select on the set, on the location, random select on the fighters. Off
I
mean, you go.
I don't know what I'm looking for in a Mortal Kombat movie.
No, that's what I'm worried about. Like, game. What are you hoping for?
No, but I mean, at least in this one, I had some structural problems trying to figure out who am I supposed to be following here. I'm following Kitana. Okay, I'm going to follow Kitana. She's obviously the hero of this one. No, I'm not actually really following Kitana. I need to follow Johnny Cage. Oh, we also have all the people from the last film that were here that seem to be standing around waiting for a purpose that is just not given. Oh, look, we're all fighting now. Who am I? Oh, this is obviously the bad guy. Wait, no, that was the bad guy from the last one. He's not even doing shit. I mean, this is the thing. I'm just sort of sitting there going, I know you've added characters and it all looks amazing. And I really get that. But the ones that I liked from the first one just seemed to get like a bit pushed to the side, while the ones that we hated from the first one definitely got removed. And but I didn't know who I was supposed to be following. And after a while, I'm kind of sitting there going, well, I don't care about that guy because that character is actually pretty fucking useless or just not that interesting.
So you weren't on board with Johnny Cage?
No,
like, that was like, your problem. The Johnny Cage story didn't work.
A 100% missed opportunity and actually kind of useless. Because, I mean, if you're going to go chop-socky, shitty action film, lean harder into the piss take of it. And I feel like that the 1995 got Johnny Cage better than this film got Johnny Cage. And
I think...
So, and also, I agree. God bless Carl. Carl is not a martial artist or a fighter, and this one kind of needs a little bit more of like you kind of need a Keanu who's going to commit to the bit.
And learn also, how like, to do Lyndon stuff. Ashby wasn't a fighter either.
Yeah, but at least he looked better at it. And his stunt guys, well, the stunt double for him, like they use camera angles to hide a lot of facial stuff in there, but his physicality was kind of good. I mean,
okay.
I feel like in this one, Carl was kind of like, how long have we got Carl for? 4 days. All right, okay, we're just gonna roll through all of this, right? You know?
Yeah. Look, I didn't have that problem with Carl in this one. Like, for me, I thought it was really interesting to have a dual narrative. Like, to say, okay, we're going to, you know, stick with Kitana and Carl. They're our... Carl Cage. They're our, you know, characters that we're jumping on. Yeah, it did feel a lot like they were sidelining a lot of other stuff to kind of put the focus on them. And that's, you know, a bit of a challenge where you've got these characters of Sonya and Jax and Cole and Liu Kang.
All ready to go. Raiden
that are all kind of there. But, you know, I also think that they're going to do this thing where, like, okay, now they can give other characters more time. Like, I guarantee you that Chin Han, who played Shang Tsung, was probably bored shitless in this.
Yes.
Like, he didn't have much to do. But
then why the fuck did we get Shinnok?
Why did we or didn't we?
No, why did we?
We haven't yet.
I thought was it Shinnok or was it Quan Chi?
Quan Chi is Voldemort's testicle.
Damon Harriman.
Damon Harriman as Quan Chi. Yeah, right. Shinnok is more than likely going to be like, you know, a big bad in another film.
Right. Okay. So, like, all right. Yeah. I mean, you know, and yes, okay, fine. People have got in there and someone, Predicate, really, you're into Baraka? No, I felt like that was terrible. I actually hated all of that and his infatuation with Johnny Cage. Like, I mean, it just, I understand the joke and I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of somewhat funny. But I also used to play as the character Baraka for a fair bit. And I was like, you didn't even do any signature fucking moves. Where was the scissor?
Yeah.
Where was that?
You would have liked to have seen a little more.
Yeah.
I mean, like he was doing the spark type thing off the thing. He was flinging shit left, right, and center.
Kind of, but he was also a bit of a comedic gag, which I was a little bit like, oh, I don't need him to be a comedy piece.
Yeah, which it does a difficult thing of trying to skirt a lot of different lines in terms of what it is. And it's where the first one was structurally challenged as well, in that the comedy was there throughout, mostly because Josh Lawson was given free rein to say whatever the fuck he wanted, apparently.
Yes. And that's what you should do.
Yes. But they're still trying to maintain a tone. And there are a couple of times where I was like, fuck, man, if you're going to get Johnny Cage over in terms of like, you know, win the audience over to him, he needed a couple of more comedy lines. Like, I couldn't help but watching it. You know, the first thing where he's like, you know, they're trying to get him to come with him and he's in a fucking parking garage putting his shit in his car. All I wanted was for him to go, like, you know, walk into the portal and suddenly be in a different thing. He's like, I didn't lock my fucking car.
Yeah.
That kind of thing would have been just something that ties it, makes it a little bit, you know.
It could have, I mean, but this is part of the problem. Like, you know, while I was watching the film, I understand there was a bit of backstory in a world building that was trying to explain, okay, who is this Shao Kahn person? Why are they important? It's just kind of funny that way. But because I didn't know, I was following, you know, Kitana, who was a princess, and Jade, and that was a whole storyline. And then you've got the Johnny Cage focus on, like when you already have established people like Jax and Sonya and Liu Kang and Kung Lao that disappeared or apparently disappears off screen as a, like, to start with. You know, it's just
He was dead in the first film.
Was he?
Yeah.
Did he die?
This is the thing. Like, Kano had been taken out by Sonya. Kung Lao had had his soul taken away.
Oh, yeah, that's right. By Shang Tsung.
Shang Tsung.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I forgot about that bit. But, you know, right. Like...
Thank you, Karina. Damon did the voice of Cabal. See, I love Cabal. He's one of my favorite
characters. Where the fuck did Cabal go? Did he die as well? Did he die?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm pretty sure he got cut in half or something.
Yeah.
There was a lot of cutting people in half.
And they did it more in this one.
Okay, so yours was a bit of a structural thing. You really didn't know who to follow and felt like there was a split focus kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, like the canon ending for all Mortal Kombat films or games has always been Liu Kang wins. Like, he's the one that wins. And in this one, it was like, oh, we're just going to like sideboard Liu Kang. He's not going to be the winner. Technically speaking, it's like, I guess. And it created a bit of a distraction to me where I was just like, oh, I don't really care about all these people now. Like, I don't care if Katana wins, you know?
Okay. I was on board with her storyline enough that I was like, actually, no, I feel that was a justified ending.
Yeah. And I mean, it's so strange because I wanted to be there too. Like, this is one of the things. I'm not coming to it from a place of not wanting to go with it and do these things. I'm coming from a place I wanted to enjoy it.
Mm.
And I'm just sad.
Yeah, which I was sad that you didn't, because I came out of it going, fuck, I had a good time at that. That was great.
And I was also desperately upset with the fact that they didn't really use the music until the credits. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Like,
come on.
Yeah.
Have a big fight.
But then which one would you have put it on?
Doesn't matter, because, I mean, even the fighting in the first one, like, and I say the first movie, which is 1995 version, even that made a little bit more sense. Because all the fighting in this one, just I was kind of like, why are they fighting? Aren't they? Isn't the rules about the tournament? You have to fight in the tournament, and they're having other.
Was it part of the tournament?
Well, no, it wasn't, because the whole Scorpion Noob Saibot, Johnny Cage, you know, a whole
everybody fighting
was a little bit like, oh, this is a fight we have to have in order for the final fight to begin, and then they're going to have another fight, and that's because the gods decided that we're going to have another fight, and that's how that's going to go. And I was like, oh, fuck, don't set rules up and then break them and stop having.
What I feel you need to do is go back and rewatch Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
No, I have absolutely no interest in watching Mortal Kombat Annihilation at all ever again.
Because I think you need to be reminded of how shit a sequel can be.
Oh, no, I get that. This is one of the things I say. This isn't a shit sequel. This is fine. It just has structural problems that don't seem to be fixed. Like, I feel like they fixed some of the problems, which was like, hey, the sets are better, and we're, like, doing, like, screen-accurate, high-def
locations
versions.
Locations from the game.
Locations, which is amazing, which I loved, because the Sonya fight was actually quite fun.
In the bottom of the pit.
Yeah. With the knives, like, and stuff. But
like,
no.
The pit one from Mortal Kombat 1, what's more?
Yes. But technically speaking, like, shouldn't Jade be in there? Or Reptile was in there, supposed
Reptile.
To be.
Reptile.
Reptile's supposed to be in there.
But Reptile was in the first film, sort of, kind of.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Ish. I still feel like the Reptile that came out of the first film was a superior one. I love that fight.
I think we can all agree, everybody in the world can agree, that the Reptile fight out of Mortal Kombat 1 from 1995 is the best fucking banger of a fight.
Yeah.
Like, by far. You know, amazing soundtrack. Like, and the best use of a secret character in a video game ever.
And I mean, because it was Mortal Kombat 2, I was kind of hoping for a green ninja to pop out of somewhere.
I feel you.
But I mean, you know, like, they're taking some liberties, and they're also trying to get in. Like, I also believe, you know, the wildly popular Bi-Han / Scorpion group that was there that only came back in to do, you know, a couple of bits of dialogue before it just became a CGI fest of fighting that was kind of cool, but also a little bit disappointing. Does that make sense? I mean,
I feel you.
I really love Liu Kang versus Zombie Kung Lao.
Oh.
Because that actually had story and gravitas and meaning and a reason. And they once they've explained that, I was like, oh, this fight's going to be, oh, this fight was really good. Like, this is great. Like, this gives me character narrative. This gives me a reason. This gives me a bit of understanding. And like that, it was a cool fight. Absolutely disjointed from almost everything else in the film.
Yeah, okay. I mean, like, I personally don't think it was disjointed, but, like, it's the standout fight of the film. It's the fucking showstopper. Yeah. And I have seen a few people go, hang on, that was your, like, end of second act fight.
Yeah.
Like, why was that not your fucking big finale? I'm like, yeah, because structurally it couldn't be, but... Yeah.
Also, like, I quite enjoyed the Shao Kahn. All the Shao Kahn stuff was actually quite good because, like, he was a big, impenetrable, you know, force of nature. And I'm like, that's actually really good.
I fucking love that they put his shoulder check in there a few times.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, see, for me, the reason that this works so well is because, to me, this feels like Mortal Kombat 2, the game. Like, that frenetic fucking... throwing fireballs here, there, and everywhere, special moves fucking all over the shop. Everybody's just firing shit at the wall. There's stuff going everywhere. Mm. Like the fight between Liu Kang and Kung Lao in front of the portal. The portal is, you know, straight out of Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah.
And the use of the hat, the use of all of the fireballs, the whole thing, I'm just like, fuck yeah, this is the shit I've been wanting to see for fucking... you know, 20 something years.
I mean, to be completely honest, the portal in the film is just like the super high def lovely version of the portal from the first game. Because you watch the first one, you're like, oh yeah, the portal. And you look at the screenshot, you're like, oh wow, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's nowhere near as cool as I remember.
So shout out to the post effects team who made that portal look fucking amazing.
I actually do want to shout out verbally to somebody who I know who is one of the visual effects editors on this.
Mm.
So my buddy Daniel Lay, who has not seen the film in a cinema yet because they didn't give him comp tickets or anything like that to go and see it, which I was like, oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah, that's shithouse. Anyway,
yeah,
hopefully he sees it.
Fucking visual effects editor on this film, I'm like,
yeah,
there's some good shit in there.
It's fucking great. Like, it's really pretty. All of the costuming is great and everyone looks great in it. It's just the problems with it are not visual. It's not effort, not love.
No.
The problems with it are like, oh, this doesn't really make any sense. Not that the game's made any sense, but the removal of some structure, like narrative decisions from the first one, and trying to correct it and then putting it into the second one and trying to form one out, like pull one out of there to explain strange concepts like Edenia and Outworld and what does this tournament mean and still not visiting the gods. And like Mortal Kombat as a franchise is hell.
Oh, in terms of trying to fucking, you know, latch together all of the bits of lore and like the 17 something games.
Yeah.
Like, we got up to Mortal Kombat 1, which was a full reboot.
Yeah.
And also, we got to 11, I think, plus.
It's like it's like the Marvel Universe. It's still going, and it's just kind of, it's a bit all over.
And there's lore for all of it. There's you know, canon versions of what the actual story was at various different points.
Oh, like, I saw a good one.
Trying to work out what to do with that would be a nightmare.
I saw a good one today, like online, as you can go find. Is like, it's all canon. It explains how everything is canon. I know, right? Oh, like, even the weird shit, like Mortal Kombat Adventures. Yeah, it was just like, okay, I'll go with that. Yeah, sure. It's all canon. It's like branching realities, and it's like, it's all technically true.
Well, and you know what? That by the time you get to Mortal Kombat 1, where there is like a full-time reset, and in that one, Liu Kang has become the god of fire as opposed to Raiden being the god of lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's alternate realities and histories of all of the different characters and shit. Exactly.
That's your gong for tonight, is it? Oh, wait,
oh no, I've got a gong.
You've got a gong. Finally. Yay.
I've arrived.
Yeah, Quinny's toasty. Look,
keep that around because I'm going to need it for the next time one of these films comes out.
Look, I mean, I had a lot of fun with it. Like, this is not to say that I didn't enjoy some of it, but I felt like I was let down by some of the other things. Like, I really feel like Johnny Cage was not the character I needed to follow on this. I know that Carl was probably the biggest name that they had attached to it, but it was not the greatest character because I feel like it was a little bit like you could have had so much fun. Like, you know, even the start of the film when they go back and they're doing the piss take of the action film.
Yeah.
And it still
that
felt like
gone further.
It was very, it felt very safe and it felt not as weird or terrible or like they like, hey, we're just doing a bit of a joke, right? It's like, no, play it straight. Like those action films.
Yeah. Like do a little bit more of the VHS grain on it, you know, really kind of, you know, cause it yeah, I agree that one, I was like, yeah, you could go further with that. And we know that, if he's meant to be Van Damme, like make that connection a little more distinct that he is meant to be Van Damme.
Yeah. Go back and watch Galaxy Quest and watch that as an idea of someone in your heyday who's doing a convention because they've lost a will to live. Like that's your kind of, you know, go and watch that and feel sad.
And I got to say, like, it's not a spoiler or anything, but there are some cameos that you're like, you should only have been in there for less seconds, Ed Boon. I love you, buddy, but you ain't not an actor.
No. I mean, it's nice to see them in there and that's fine. I mean, I feel like in this one, there are a few actors / characters that get hard done by. And that was also a bit
we'll
weird.
Talk about in the spoiler section.
Well, okay. I mean, fine.
I think we should. I think we should because there are people who... you know, may still want to go and watch this. I personally think you should go and watch it on a big fucking screen.
Okay.
Actually, something that I really liked, so in IMAX, the whatchamacallit, the ratio changes. And there are a couple of moments where it does it just at the beginning of a fight. And the thing I love about that is that that's straight out of the video games. Like the more recent video games, it'll go from fully rendered cutscene into battle, and the aspect ratio changes, and you get that two people on either side of the screen, you know, facing off against each other.
Yeah,
I'm like, nice.
Yeah. Okay. And what other love bits do you have for it?
Oh, look. What did I love? I mean, I thought the action was generally quite entertaining. I didn't love the Baraka fight. You know, there were moments where I was like, yeah, that's fun, but I would have liked to have seen a little bit more actual, you know, capability from Johnny Cage.
Yeah.
But
he needed to believe in himself. Just like Cole Young needed to believe in himself.
Yes. Look, I love anything that Josh Lawson's doing. I think he was once again having a lot of fun and throwing a lot of lines at the screen to see what stuck.
Yeah.
And I would like to see him and Damon Herriman have more scenes because, fucking roll it at me.
I mean, this is part of the thing. Every time, like, I was a bit concerned that it may have been a one-hit wonder for Kano, for Josh Lawson coming out on this. And I was like, oh, no, here's Kano. Oh, I wonder how they're going to go. And I was like, oh, no, just a delight. Absolute delight every time he's on screen. And the only problem with it is he's not on screen enough.
No.
Yeah.
Shao Kahn, I think they fucking nailed. I think they did a pretty good job of, like, the storyline for Katana could be quite boring. But I thought they played that pretty well. And the relationship between her and Jade. Once again, if you are even remotely concerned about the quality of this, go back and watch fucking Mortal Kombat Annihilation and watch a film that has no clue what the fuck it's doing with any of its characters.
Yes. Yes, I know that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's, I'm with you. I'm trying to, like, you know, the good bits about it.
Yeah. Like, for me, things that like really fucking got me smiling, the pit background that looked straight out of the first game, the Deadpool background. straight out of the game. I was like, fucking perfect, amazing. Yeah, what I really want to see, I want to see Raiden actually have something to do.
Sure.
You know?
He's there for the plot.
But I would also like to see Shang Tsung have more to do rather than walking around glowering.
Yeah, it's true. We want to see them all have a fight. That's the point of it.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I will say the fight between Sonya and Sindel was surprisingly brutal.
Yeah, better than expected.
Yeah, she didn't use a hair whip once, but no. I was like...
She did scream a lot, though.
She did some pretty good screaming.
She didn't really, but she also didn't have that kind of purple leotard action.
No. Too bad. Famous. You will die. So, yeah. Look, I just had a lot more fun. I actually really liked the split structure. And when it comes to the end and, like, they're kind of... The editing is actually making it abundantly clear that these people are going through mirrored experiences. And like, I was like, that's actually quite clever. But it's not going to be for everybody. And I do recognize that it did feel like an almost Rise of Skywalker level course correction.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't even know that that's even a course correction. I think if I can borrow a Star Wars term without going too hard into the yes, that was a gonk.
I assume just gonk.
Yeah, it was a gonk. But like in that way where Disney's slowly moving away from the whole sequel trilogy by quietly removing merchandise and reframing Galaxy's Edge and doing all that and perhaps just sweeping that whole three films under the rug. This felt a little bit like that. In it was like, oh, we made some mistakes in the first one. And that's because we didn't know if it was going to do it. Oh, it went quite well and people quite like this. And they want to see it now. Oh, wow, the second one made some more money. Oh, well, okay, let's focus on what the fans want out of this. Let's listen to feedback. So that's always a good thing.
I'm glad they listened.
Yeah.
And Max Huang, I think is his name, who, I'm just looking him up, who plays...
Kung Lao?
What? Yeah, Kung Lao. He's part of Jackie Chan's stunt crew. Like, he choreographed a lot of his own fights in the first film.
Yeah.
And in this one, you can tell that, like, I want to see more of that level of crazy shit.
Yeah.
You know, that fight to me is now a kind of a high watermark.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's do more.
I mean, that I love the 1995 reptile Liu Kang fight. I love the Scorpion Johnny Cage fight from that one, that film too.
Yep. Typo negative, amazing music.
Yep. I liked, you know, some of the other fights that we had. I thought the, you know, Sub-Zero Scorpion fight in the octagon, whatever it was great.
Yep.
In the first one. Yep. Much preferred the whole origin of Scorpion in the first film. This one, I feel like it didn't have any of those kind of origin-y stories or reasons for it, which is, you know, good and bad. I mean, you know, I understood the stakes of the finale of this one, and it did work. Like, I thought, yeah, that's good. It does work. But again, now I'm just a little bit confused. And I kind of feel like even though they added more characters and they tried to expand the roster in Mortal Kombat 2, it's still kind of not enough based on how many characters there are around and how many things can happen. And in the defense of Mortal Kombat Annihilation,
ow,
I feel... like they more successfully added characters to that.
I need you to watch it again.
No, I mean, added characters. I didn't say they were any good. I just felt like they definitely got more characters onto the screen.
Yes, they did. And one of them, like Rain, for example, says one line and then somebody knocks him into a fire pit and he dies.
Yeah, but I mean, like, unlike, you know, some of the other characters who don't even have lines.
Who didn't get lines?
Mataro.
Oh no, Mataro got lines, but they were just all fucking terrible.
I always love Mortal Kombat Annihilation just for the one reason that they included the cyber ninjas.
Honestly, dude, when I think about where Mortal Kombat 3 goes, all I care about is please do the cyber ninjas again.
Yeah.
I fucking love the cyber ninjas.
Just put the cyber ninjas out. It's okay.
Like, it's smoke. Yeah. I mean, I'd even be down for them doing, like, you know, Sub-Zero's younger, hotter brother.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, unmasked with a cool scar over his eye.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, cool tattoo.
Mm,
yeah, look, whatever. We all want those things too.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, whether or not we get them. As long as Kano comes back, that's the only thing. Like, I need a Kano story.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, rewatching that first film, I was surprised at how much Kano there was in there, but also, like, Cabal, who's one of my favorite characters, who shouldn't be because he's got no fucking backstory and isn't a dick of a character.
He's a mercenary.
But, yeah, that's about it. Mm-hmm. But in this one, they were like, yeah, he had a relationship with Kano, and you're like, oh, okay, right. Okay, that made some sense. It's funny, like, that first film is just a prologue. Like, this is the film that is actually Mortal Kombat. That first film was just like, you know, pre-combat.
Yeah. And now we have this one. And hopefully next time we get more and we get my favorite character of all time.
Curtis Stryker.
Nightwolf.
How do you do Nightwolf without being culturally appropriative?
Probably by hiring a Native American actor.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, if yes, but also you may. Nightwolf's a terrible character.
I know. He had some of the greatest juggle combos, though, ever.
He did.
Yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
Sorry, Predakengar, I appreciate that. Yes. Mortal warm up.
Yeah.
Mortal warm up.
Yeah. Okay, do you want to give it a rating? Clip.
Oh, yeah.
You've forgotten how all this goes, Quinny? Or
I have. I was away for 1 week.
Jesus. What are you going to give it?
Of course, to everybody in the chat, drop a thingy out of 100 so I can find them. Look, man, I had a real fucking good time both times I've watched it. And man, you know,
you watched it twice.
Yeah, I was having a good time.
Okay.
For me, this is 88.
Oh, right. Okay.
I had a good time. I had a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like, there was a lot of really great moments. There was some, honestly, I don't know if you've seen the clip that's been doing the rounds of the blue portal fight, but that is a very small section of that fight.
Yeah.
And it goes on for a long time and becomes the red portal fight at one point too.
Hmm.
And I was like, this is fucking amazing. This is cinema. Straight up fucking
absolute cinema. Oh, good. Very quickly, I'm going to give it 68 because it owes me one. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. Yep. 68. It owes me one.
Right. And then a whole bunch of other people there with their ratings in there. Thank you very much.
Somewhat dissatisfied for me.
So not the whole 69.
No, not the whole 69. 68 in it owes me one. All right, let's go watch a clip about this, and we can watch Johnny Cage, you know, getting in a fight.
Hey, how's it going, babe? Listen, I'm warning you. I got a Saturn Award for best fight in a feature film, so don't mess with me.
Whoa, easy, all right? Let's just take a time out here and talk about it, okay? I really don't feel comfortable hitting a girl.
Don't worry. You won't.
Whoa, come on, Jesus, let's just talk about this!
Loud for that one.
Oh no.
Yeah. Sorry, was that clip.
Painfully noisy?
Yeah, painfully noisy. Hopefully, there we go. Yes, well, there you go. Look, you know, Katana in this one is great. I feel like they've done a great job. Look, he tried his best. Carl was giving it a go, but
he was.
It kind of ended. He kind of was the weakest one. You want him to be the strongest. They were setting him up to be the strongest link of the film, like the linchpin of the whole thing. But I really felt like he was actually kind of the weakest. He had the most to do and the least sort of.
Yeah, but he had the biggest arc. His arc was the arc of belief in himself.
And that was a shit arc. What a shit arc.
Come on, man. He finished the first fight in the exact way that everybody should finish at least one Mortal Kombat fight. Wavering around and waiting for somebody to do their fatality and then just falling over.
Yeah, but that was the whole kind of rest of it. Like, I mean, he had all of this opportunity and he still kind of squanders it because in the end, Johnny Cage doesn't have an arc of redemption, I'm the best, because Johnny Cage already thinks he's the best and he doesn't need to be proving this shit. He thinks he's the best.
This version of Johnny Cage doesn't think he's the shit. He's currently feeling like...
But Johnny Cage needs to lose. That's one of the strangest things that I think about this. In every Mortal Kombat game and sort of in the franchise, if there's one thing guaranteed is that Johnny Cage will choke. He's not the one who wins Mortal Kombat. He's not the one that brings everyone together. He's the one that goes, I'm amazing. Yeah, I'm going to win. Nope, they didn't win.
And he didn't hear. He just happened to do the thing that was needed at the right time.
What a nut punch.
Well, no, like he found his Arcana.
Oh, fuck.
But he, you know, like he got his fucking slide kick thing and managed to smash a MacGuffin that will be very important. The shadow kick. Thank you, Brent. I mean, yeah.
Look, I mean, even Sonya gets to shoot purple fucking ring gauntlet things. Just give Johnny Cage his weird green shit. No explanation as to
why.
No.
Why are they purple ring gauntlets? No, it doesn't matter.
That's her Arcana.
Yeah. Okay,
can we talk
about...
I
do love that they've stated that that was a terrible thing and they shouldn't have done it and they're now rolling it back.
Yeah.
So speaking of things that are rolled back...
look, Lewis Tan.
I feel bad for that man.
Yeah, we love him as an actor. He gave it a red hot go, but
we are in spoiler territory now.
Yeah, aren't
we?
I put the spoiler thing up.
Okay,
good. It's fine. We're in spoilers now, so if you need to leave, hey, go.
Yeah,
but you should have all done the homework.
Mm.
Yeah, look, I mean, it was always going to be that weird one that they wrote themselves into a corner in the first one with this new character that they did specifically for the film that they thought they were going to add to everything and definitely looked like he was getting set up to be added to Mortal Kombat games.
Mm.
But the fans went, nah.
Look, yeah. The Cole Young character, and it was the thing that everybody arced up the most at about that first film was like, why the fuck would you create a new character and try and pin your whole story on a new character that's never existed in any of the lore before, tying it to an original character, like a classic that we love, like that whole thing of him being Scorpion's descendant? Well, that's fucked now.
Yeah. What does that matter? Doesn't matter shit.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can be dead in this universe and it doesn't appear to matter.
No, but I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone's kind of happy. This is what I say, like half of the cast realized that they were getting written off in this sort of movie and kind of it shows. It shows on screen.
You thought they weren't giving it their all?
No, like, I mean, it felt like they were kind of giving it their all because they knew they weren't coming back. So there were kind of no rules and they were kind of having fun with it. But there was also a bit of dead light in their eyes. Where they were like, oh, yeah, I'm here to fight in Mortal Kombat until my death scene in 3 days.
Yeah, I will say, like, I think I was expecting them to off Cole. Like, you know, somebody made the explanation, and I was like, oh, yeah. Cole is the Art Lean of these films. He's the character that you needed to have die so that the stakes were high enough.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd necessarily go a whole film of building him up as a hero.
Yeah.
Just to then have him die.
But I mean, this is what happens when you start out with one thing and you don't know if it's going to work. So you're just like, oh, I'll just do it anyway. It'll be fine. And then when they come back, you're like, oh, no, we're doing a sequel. It was really, you know, people really like that. And you're like, oh, shit.
But not for you.
I liked, you know, Meckard Brooks and Lewis Tan, they gave it their all.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they were not necessary. And I feel like it was, especially like, I really feel sorry for Meckard Brooks because his job in the first film was to help Sonya figure out what she was doing. And in this film that he just did, his job was to help another female character figure out why they were important. And I'm just kind of like, but he's Jax. He's a good dude, man.
And look, I thought he did a pretty good, like, he got at least a couple of good fights, you know, in this one. You know, I was like, yeah, they gave him at least one really solid fight.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Everybody pretty much gets a solid fight. Like, I wouldn't be too upset if I was Lewis Tan. He can come back as a revenant, like, he can, whatever. But
not with
also,
his face like
he won. Like, yeah, admittedly, he'll be a weird flat-headed revenant, but whatever. But he won. Like, he won his match quite comprehensively. He fucking killed Shao Kahn. But Shao Kahn was cheating, so.
Oh. Okay, fine. But the scoreboard didn't say that.
No.
No. I mean, and speaking of kind of a little bit lackluster with people in there, you know, Shang Tsung kind of underutilized. He's supposed, like, I mean, at least it'd be fun if he turned into different fighters so everyone could come back. Like, that's his whole point.
This is what I'm hoping that, like, you know, number three, they'll do more with him because, I mean, so far he's been kind of woefully underused.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see him, you know, morphing into other characters. I'd love to see him, you know, firing a few skulls around and shit.
Yeah. The whole, like, Scorpion noob cybot fight kind of felt tacked on.
Yeah.
And if it was sort of like, oh, these were really popular, so we have to have one. And I feel like when they talked about it, they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to have a fight scene with you guys. So if you go work out a fight scene and then we'll do it later, and does it actually match into the narrative for any reason? No, we'll make that fit. No, it'll be something, got to go to Underworld doing that.
Yeah.
We'll make that work.
Yeah, the whole, like, I don't think the the noob cybot whole thing was perhaps given as much oomph as it needed to be.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in the first film, Sub-Zero was a fucking great villain. Like, he was intimidating and, you know, great martial arts and, you know, there was some good stuff. And the traditional rivalry between him and Scorpion, very cool. I also don't particularly love this design for Scorpion.
No.
The samurai armor, I'm kind of like, no, Scorpion was always still like a ninja to me.
Yeah. And I want him to breathe fire.
Yeah, he did a bit in the first one, but, you know, yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
like, but, yeah, I don't necessarily think the Bi-Han thing entirely worked.
It still looked cool.
Yeah.
And you know, like, you know, Noob Cybot's one of my most fun characters that, like, is a cool guy. In the games, he's cool. He's cool in the game.
Yeah.
But in this one, it just felt like a little bit of a tacked on thing where you're like, oh, okay, right. And then it gets everyone involved because, like, Johnny Cage is involved. And it just gets a little bit like, what's going on here? Who am I following? Who am I supposed to be cheering for? What character am I following through? Well, who's having a hero's journey? Because Johnny Cage isn't having a hero's journey. And even Katana is not really having a hero's journey. You know,
I'm a lot more comfortable with the like less commonly used split hero journey path, like which is something that you usually only get in Asian storytelling, where you've got two heroes that are kind of operating together. Unusual, but I'm kind of down for it. So, yeah.
Look, you know, all of these things that I have structurally are not massive problems, because again, I do realize that we're coming from a fucking fighting game, which is this thing is to like punch one other character until it dies.
Look, I still think this looks a lot better than what we've seen so far of Street Fighter.
Oh, well, that's an interesting one. I feel like Street Fighter actually understands its tone and is having a lot of fun with its tongue firmly lodged in someone else's cheek. I'm not going to say which one. But in this one, it was like, in the first one, they were kind of like, are we following this Cole story? Are we going on this sort of deep and meaningful? Are we going on Scorpion's kind of like sad fighting stuff with a little bit of unexpected humor thrown in from Kano that made it all reminded everyone that we are just watching a fighting game brought to life. And sure, it was a bit is a bit weird and a bit messy, and it kind of didn't really set up an actual villain in the first one because it's Shang Tsung who controls all these people, and then it's Prince Goro and stuff. In this one, they kind of fix that by going, it's Shao Kahn. He's the bad guy. Okay, great. We're going to focus on the fact that it's just fucking Shao Kahn. We've got to beat Shao Kahn and his minions. But in this one, the heroes got muddied. Last one was a bit easier to follow because you're like, here's the hero guy and some other people, who are helping the hero go through. And in this one, it's more like, okay, so we've fixed the villain thing. We have one villain we all hang our hat on. And now a lot of different heroes doing weird shit and they all having a different journey. And, you know, and the one that we hung our hat on last movie, we're going to get rid of. So with
pretty serious fucking violence and
A very definite, we're putting a pin in this guy.
Yeah. Look, I've seen a few people talking about how, you know, there's a storyline that I could see them doing where they go, you know what? He could be the new Scorpion. Like, he's of his bloodline. He's dead. He's a revenant. A way of getting rid of Tadanobu Asano.
Sure, as long as he comes back in the traditional yellow costume.
See, this is the thing. I'm like, yeah, bring him back. Yeah. Okay, I'll do Louis Tan as a younger, more
ninja-like. No, I really hope that for Louis Tan. I hope that they bring him back as the new Scorpion with a skull head that's full of flame because he had his head removed. Okay.
Simon McCoy, we are available if you need us to do any writing for you.
Just tweaks. We're just the polishers. We're not the.
Yeah. Yeah. No. No. We'll just give you a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
Like, we can give you some plot nudges.
You send us the draft that whatever fucking ChatGPT spat out for you, and we'll go through.
We'll just make it a little bit more fun.
I just realized something was like I kicked something with my foot. And for some reason, I have a tiny stuffed animal under the desk and I don't know where that has come from. It's got a carrot on its head. There you go. Anyway.
Today, you're the one who's just reaching off screen.
Yep.
And pulling in random shit that is just off screen.
Just off screen. Look, you know, Mortal Kombat 1, sure, it's a bit problematic, but it was easy to follow. Mortal Kombat 2 is just more of the same, but I felt like it had less of the things I really wanted in it. But I'm not going to complain. Liu Kang Kung Lao fight, amazing. Even the Katana Shao Kahn fight, good. Very disappointed by the Johnny Cage Baraka fight, mainly because I felt like the game version of Johnny Cage was funnier because everyone was taking the piss out of him, whereas in this one I didn't know if I was supposed to be laughing at Johnny Cage.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what you want.
It's a tough line because you've got Josh Lawson doing the broad comedy.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing they were trying to go, hang on, we can't have them both being the comedy character. I'm like, but you could.
Yeah, because Johnny Cage is not a cool guy. Johnny Cage is a fuckstick.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Yeah, I think they could have gone a little bit harder with that. I did like his line in there about, what's the cosplay? Big Trouble in Little China? Great film. Like,
well done. Yeah, bits and pieces in there. It's okay. But, you know, yeah.
See, yeah, and I would say Mortal Kombat 1, it was fine. You know, I think that 69 is a very, very accurate representation of where it is as a film. You know, Goro gets a fight in a woodshed. You know, they have a couple of big action sequences in Gouger Street in Adelaide. It's not, you know, like it doesn't have the scope and scale. Whereas this one, they've expanded it. To me, this is far more what Mortal Kombat should be. And I'm very much loving the direction they're going, so I'm more than happy to be on board for the next one.
Look, I am also on board with the next one. That's fine. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing which characters they're going to include now that their roster is opening up severely. would you like to see that we haven't seen yet on screen?
Oof, fuck. Oof. There's a lot.
Bit of Cassie Cage?
Oh, Jesus Christ, dude. You're into the way later games there.
I know. That was a fun one to throw out there just for the hell of it. What about Striker, the only character who has a gun?
I would love to see them do Striker. Like, I think the ballsiest move they could do for Mortal Kombat 3 would be like sideline all the other characters again. A new lead character, it's Curtis fucking Striker.
Curtis fucking Striker. Okay. As long as they put Nightwolf in there, I'll be happy.
Yeah, Curtis Striker and Nightwolf. It's a weird buddy cop film.
Yeah. I do want to see the Cyber Ninjas come out. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a new version of Mataro or even Kintaro.
I'd like to see somebody have a go at doing Kintaro.
Yeah.
Like, nobody seems game to do Kintaro because it's like, yeah, it's just, it's Goro. Or
it's
Shiva?
Shiva was in Annihilation and they did that. She looked pretty good. What are you talking about?
Wow.
Yeah. Hey.
I love that you can still see the comp lines on all of her arms.
Yeah.
Like, didn't even do the proper comping on her.
Did we even get Melina?
Yeah, she's in the first film.
Are you sure?
Yeah, she's not good though.
Was she the one with the bat wings?
Natara.
Okay, right.
No, Melina is in the first one. She's got her size.
I've got to go back and watch that again.
This is why I did it. I was like, I kind of need to remember what we've done here because there's a lot more characters in the first film than I've remembered. Like, they brought Natara in and I'm like, fuck, that's a stretch. Yeah. Like, that's not a character I would have thought, yeah, we need to have her in a Mortal Kombat film. But, you know, look, there's a lot. Erin Black, yeah, not a well-used character in the games. Mm-hmm. My personal favorite of all the games is the Mortal Kombat trilogy on the PlayStation. That was the one that was essentially Mortal Kombat 3, but just with the whole roster of Ultimate Mortal Kombat and then a few other characters thrown in as well, because they were just like, okay, let's just do everybody that's ever been in any of the games up until this point. That was fucking mint. That game was mint.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find if there's any characters I forgot about, but not really. No, it's all fine.
There's millions of them. There's like fucking Bo Rai Choi and like some of the characters from like Deadly Alliance and all of those things later.
Look, all I gotta say, when they come back and they do Mortal Kombat 3, if they're gonna follow the actual Mortal Kombat 3 proper timeline, you have to understand that Johnny Cage is dead.
Mm.
Like, he gets killed off screen.
Yeah, he does. There's a lot in there, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see Smoke.
Sure.
Maybe they can even try and do Ermac. Who knows why that would do it.
You leave Ermac alone. He's one of the ninjas.
Oh, there's a character that I did quite like. Fujin, the wind god. I enjoyed him in one of the later games, in Mortal Kombat 4.
Well, there you go. You know it better than I do. Look, I'm glad you had fun, Quinny. And I'm glad you came back to us for this. But what are we doing next week?
Well, we're going in a very different direction. That's what we're doing.
Yes.
We're doing the Netflix film that is currently available, so you can watch it and keep an eye on it.
Excellent.
Which I'm now looking up the name of, Remarkably Bright Creatures, which is a story about an octopus.
Well, we're going to do that. It's available now. It's also a movie. Won't be too much for your homework. It's a feel-good one because we've had a lot of, you know, death and destruction and anger this month.
So now we're
going into a little bit nice.
Yes.
And at the end of the month, we're doing another Star Wars, returning back to Star Wars.
Yes, yes. We're back to The Mandalorian and Grogu, where we will all find out whether or not, you know.
Can they sustain a film?
Yeah, yeah. And it's been a while since we've been into a cinema to watch a Star Wars thing.
Yeah, it's been years.
How many years? What was the last Star Wars film?
The last Star Wars film, I think, is episode Rise of the Jedi, 9?
Rise of Skywalker?
Rise of Skywalker, I think, was the last film.
Jesus.
God. Maybe I'm wrong.
That's a lot. Yeah. And yes, Karina, Lewis Pullman not playing Bob in the Remarkably Bright Creatures. So that's what we're going to be doing. I'm looking forward to being in a cinema again to watch Star Wars of any kind. It's been a long time that we've just been watching on our TVs. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed it. This has been a very old school periodic table of awesome. We had Dan and I just snip at each other for an hour and a half, nearly.
about Mortal Kombat, one of your great loves that has been with you for many, many a year.
I had to explain to my lovely partner. She's like, I didn't know that you like Mortal Kombat. And I'm like, the first website I ever built in university was a Mortal Kombat fan site.
Yep.
This shit is in my blood.
Yep, it's there.
Yep.
And much like all Mortal Kombat, you can't give him a fatality. He'll just come back stronger.
I just can't remember how to do all the button things. It's up, down, down, left, right, left, right.
Sorry, Freddy Kangaroo in the chat there. What's DCC Day for those that celebrate?
I was actually going to say exactly the same thing. Freddy Kangaroo, happy Dungeon Crawler Carl Day. Oh. The new book has been released today, as has the new audio book. And later this week, the comic book, the second series of that starts. And Dion will never, ever, ever read, watch, or engage with anything to do with it.
As soon as you finish watching Parks and Recreation, Quinny, I shall.
I'm too busy. I'm sorry, I can't hear you over all of the
crawling through your dungeons. There you go.
Yeah, yeah, that's where it's at. I've got an audiobook to go and listen to, folks, so thank you so much.
Hey, I mean, like, I didn't even mention it once until now, but it's fucking budget night. Hey, come on, everyone, it's Australian budget night. Where are we finding out exactly how fucked we all, I mean, how great things all are for the economy? Don't forget to go off and watch that right now. That's the important thing that's happening. Yep. Leave this straight to the budget recap.
We're all excited for that one.
Fucking loving it. Go and get the white pages. They're available. This is one of the things that people don't seem to understand. You can read through the budget yourself and find out all the juicy goss about where the money goes.
Yeah. Do you think they really tell us where the money goes? Oh, I don't.
Yeah, it's all there. Like, this is one of the things. It's hidden in the densest of white fucking releases. Yeah, where they're like, hang on a second, we gave how much money to the military? Jesus.
Yes. Again?
Again. Yep, time for your colander hat. There we go. Yep.
This way they can't read my mind.
That's excellent. It's good to have you back, Quinny.
It's good to be back, Dion. I missed you, buddy.
I don't know if I missed you with that fucking hat.
I love you.
Dude, no wonder Jill and Pete stayed away from it.
I don't blame them.
Do not blame them one bit. All right, then. Thanks, everyone. Thanks in the chat. Have a great week. Chill out. Do some fun stuff. Get into your Dungeon Crawler, Carl. Pour over the budget docs. Enjoy something. We'll see you all next week in a pretty easy one. Go and watch a nice story about an octopus on Netflix.
Go on.
Go on, do that. Okay. Thanks, Corinna. Have fun in America. Try not to.
Yeah, yeah. Enjoy America. Good luck. Be safe.
Good luck. Yeah.
Don't let them see anything I've put on fucking Threads or Instagram.
I hope you come back.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Good. Oh, yeah.
Be careful. Right.
Okay. Bye. See you all next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table podcast. If you have comments, feedback, or suggestion, email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. From our website, you can find our Instagram, Twitter, Threads, YouTube, and Facebook links, as you can join in the show live on Twitch, usually on Tuesday nights, but sometimes at Moves. Until next time, stay awesome.